We need to remind ourselves that the Bible speaks to all of us. The Bible speaks to my heart as well as to your heart. And I want to encourage you that in a few weeks' time, when we come to the election of leaders within this local church, that we will do so prayerfully and according to the Word of God and not according to sentimentality. One of the greatest weaknesses in all of the churches today, of all denominations, is that they have leaders in positions of authority because they have been voted there with a sentimental vote. Now, you don't have to vote for anyone through the sentimentality concept. You do not have to vote for someone because they're good-looking or they have a striking personality. That would rule me out straight away anyhow. Or because they've got the gift of the gab. J.B. Phillips has a very interesting translation of verse 3. He says that we are to look out or look round about and pick out from our number 7 men of good reputation who are both practical and spiritually minded. I love that translation because what it literally says is that they are to be both heavenly minded and of earthly usage. Now, in this message this morning, we're going to consider the ministry of the layman in the local church. Now, by layman, I mean those who are engaged in a full-time secular occupation and who are members of the local church and who serve the Lord in the local church. Now, I'm not overlooking the invaluable work done by the women folk in the church. Maybe a little later on I'll get daring and game enough to preach on the right place of the woman in the church. And when I do, I'm sure some of you will get a little bit upset, but that doesn't matter. You've got to argue with the Bible. You don't have to argue with Ron Baker. But this morning, we're looking at the position of men, how they have a special and a distinctive ministry of leadership when it comes to the matter of church administration. And in Acts chapter 6 and verses 1 through 5, the Bible gives us guidance as to the kind of men who should be appointed by the church to support the pastor and to give guidance to the policy and program of the local church. But suffice it to say today that Christ is the head of the local church. Next to Christ in the biblical order is the pastor teacher. Then comes the diaconate. Then comes the church members. And so as you vote for these men, remember that they are to be voted into a position of leadership that is supportive to the pastor and to the program of the local church. One thing that I would like to dispel in your thinking correctly is this, that a diaconate does not control the pastor of the local church. You have been brought up over the years, perhaps with error, but we are concerned with what the Bible says and not with what tradition has taught. That doesn't mean that the pastor's going to come along with a big stick and lord it over you. Doesn't mean that at all. If he does, he's out of line. But it does mean this, that he is God's gift to the local church. And if he steps out of line, then he's got to be dealt with by the Lord. So when we look at what kind of men should be placed in positions of leadership and responsibility, we have to look at certain issues. Now, firstly this morning, they should be born again men. That is, they should have a definite experience of conversion. They must know and acknowledge Christ as Lord and Savior. They must be men who are born into God's family. This requirement is indicated here in verse 3 of Acts chapter 6. The Bible says, "Look ye out from among you." That is to say, men were to be selected from the membership of the local church. And in the early church, the members were regenerate. They were born again. As you go back and look at chapter 2 of Acts, you learn that they had repented. They had received the Word of God, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were added to the church. Now, it's fair to say that one of the most tragic weaknesses in many local churches today is that men have been placed in office, indeed good and gifted men. No one would argue about that. But they are men who are not spiritual. Now, when it comes to choosing men for any position of leadership and responsibility, the first question that you and I should ask is this: Has this man a clear testimony to the saving grace of God, and does he give evidence to his life of a true change of heart? If that man does not indicate such an expression of being born again, then under the authority of Almighty God, you and I must never vote for such a man. Secondly, these men are to be selected men. Will you notice in verse 3, have a look at it, the word out is a very significant word. Wherefore, brethren, look among you for seven men, or look you out seven men of honest report. Now here we learn that the democratic ideal was practiced in the apostolic church. But let us also remember that whilst the democratic ideal was practiced, the theocratic rule was operative. Theocratic means God rules. The apostles had said to the members, you look out among you. You look out the men that we may appoint. Now that's a very interesting phrase, the way it is grammatically constructed. But it means both. The apostles and the church members were to be supportive of the men that were selected. The whole church was invited to participate in the selecting of suitable men to serve as deacons. It was not the decision of Peter only, nor of the other apostles, but all the members were privileged to share in this matter. However, it is well for us to remind ourselves how serious and how solemn a business it is to exercise any influence or to cast a vote in favor of the appointment of anyone into any position of responsibility in the Lord's work. The seriousness of the business from the fact that it is God's work, it is a holy work. Let me underline that for you. It is a holy work, and it can be made or marred. It can be advanced or retarded by the quality of the men who are placed into the office of deacon. Many a church has been torn apart because we have not followed the biblical injunctions. Now we learn from Acts chapter 1 verses 23 and 26 and also Acts 6 and 6 that these men should only be selected after much prayer. None of this business at the meeting of saying, oh, well, we'll elect brother so-and-so. That's just not on, according to the Bible. We need to have a look at the quality of the men that are round about us. Now, thirdly, these men should be men of great variety. In verse 3 of Acts 6, we are told that seven men were to be chosen, and in verse 5 of Acts 6, we have a list of their names. And the point I would like to make is that they were all different, of course. They could not possibly be all alike. There are not seven men in this universe alike. And God needs different kinds of men. And because there are different kinds of ministries to be performed within the local church. Now, sometimes we are inclined, because of our human weaknesses, to say, if only Mr. A was like Mr. B. But are we right in saying this? Oh, I think not. Let me read to you a warning from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 17. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And there's a very clear and a very telling warning there regarding God's biblical injunctions. God employs a great variety of men in the service of His church, and there are, in fact, no two alike. If you don't believe me, you ask my daughter sometimes when she's up here. You ask her if there is anyone else in the world like her dad, and she'll say, no, thank God for that. There are no two people alike. Principles and facts are the issue. Personalities are not the issue. They can have all the idiosyncrasies of a personality that they want. But with me, personality is never a problem. It's never an issue. I'm only concerned in the principles and the facts, and so is God. Now, fourthly, in verse 3, look ye out, seven men of honest report. Literally translated, it means men of good reputation. And surely this means that these men were not only to have a good reputation in the church, but in their workaday world as well. It's very possible to have a good reputation on Sunday and have a bad reputation in the world on Monday and amongst your neighbors. The Bible says men who are to serve the Lord are to be utterly sincere and thoroughly honest. I don't care what a man has been before he got saved, and I don't believe God cares either. Once he has been redeemed, God holds him accountable to be sincere and thoroughly honest. You see, great damage has been done to the church when men of indifferent reputation are given any position in the Lord's work. The question should always be asked, and you should ask it, for indeed I will ask it. Is he respected by his worldly friends and neighbors? Is he consistent in his Christian living? Is he God-fearing and reliable? Is he a man of spiritual and moral integrity? Does he have a contented marriage? For indeed, remember when we come to some other studies, he's to be the husband of one wife. And yet, you know, when I look at the Bible, I see that these qualifications are insignificant on their own. Fifthly, verse 3 says, look ye out, seven men full of the Holy Spirit. And verse 5 of Acts 6 tells us that the supreme qualification of those who were chosen is that they were Spirit-filled. How can one tell if a man is full of the Holy Spirit? Will he say so? If he does, beware of him. There is one infallible test. If a man is full of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will be manifestly seen in his life. Let us read together Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It's the Word of God, but the fruit, singular, not plural by the way, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, I know that that's a very high standard. But remember, beloved, it is God's standard. It is God's standard in all the work of the local church. And do not let us have the audacity to lower God's standard. You see, the first and foremost qualification required for any man who is to be a worker in the Lord's work is not popularity, is not seniority, nor is it even ability, but it is spirituality. Now, I know that that is what God requires as I study the Bible. I also know from personal experiences, because I have worked in many difficult areas, that many a man that has been elected through that sentimentality syndrome, he's a nice guy. Oh, he's been in the church a long time. I know from personal experiences that they have not had enough spirituality to even introduce a person to Christ. Then sixthly, look at the word, verse 3. They're not only to be full of the Holy Spirit, they are to be full of wisdom. Now, literally translated, this means that they are to be full of discernment. Now, I know as well as you know, and I've had to work hard in this area in my own life, that some people seem to be born tactless. They have what I call the foot and mouth disease. And it would be very unwise to give such people a position of influence. There are many men today who have suffered nervous breakdowns because they have been betrayed by a deacon. There are many who lack discernment and spiritual insight. Some people do not seem to have appreciated the serious nature of the holy ministry of the church. Would you not agree that such men are obviously not the right men for the position of leadership in the church? Let me turn you to another warning in the Bible. Turn over to James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good life his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonical. For where envying and strife are, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, notice that, holy, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. The Word of God speaks clearly when we listen to it. Now finally, in verse 5 of Acts 6, we read that they chose Stephen. He was one of them. But as you look at the grammatical way in which this is set out in the Word of God, you will see that it refers to them all. He was a man full of faith. Now, why is it so important that men who are involved in the work of the church should be men who are full of faith? I believe it is important because the work of the church is a faith work. And the men who are appointed must obviously be men of faith, and they must know through operation faith how to trust God. One of the reasons why churches of all denominations are weak and ineffective is because they have men in leadership who do not have a fullness of the faith. They do not know how to trust God. Now, in conclusion, we have seen from the Word of God the kind of men God wants the church to appoint as His representatives. Men as channels through whom God may pour out His blessing in the church and through the church. It's for men and women and for young people. But in particular, we're looking at men this morning. And here we have the biblical injunction, particularly for men, upon whom rests the responsibility of leadership in the local church. May I lovingly say to you on the authority of the Word of God, when you come to elect men, to vote for men, to nominate men, go back to the Bible and read what the Bible requires of you, for you are held responsible as much as the person that you nominate or appoint is held responsible by God. It would be better to close the doors of the church or to put it in a caretaker situation than to violate the biblical principles laid down here in the Word of God. Let us just bow together in prayer right now. Our Father, we realize that the Word of God is powerful. We realize that the Word of God speaks to all of our hearts. And we pray today that the Holy Spirit Himself will write upon our hearts indelibly this message, and indeed the messages to come from the Word of God. Oh, our Father, we are called upon to be holy men of God, holy women of God. Now, Father, we pray that should there be anything in our lives that needs to be confessed and repented of, we'll come back and weep in true repentance and seek forgiveness and cleansing so that together we can be the holy people of God. Amen. 3:23, rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings.